Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
And the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. And we're having technical difficulties here. I am calling in as host. Michael will be joining us. However, my computer just crashed, and so I don't have control of the switchboard right now to even turn him on. So you're stuck with me for a few minutes. I apologize for all the inconvenience, and this is an issue for worksheets. Yeah, I still have to do them too. So I can't even tell you what day. I think we're on day 138 of the Memorial Day celebration. Kind of at a loss. It's a shame that we depend on technology so much that we're, when it goes out, that we're just kind of like hanging here. And I'm trying to multitask. I'm trying to talk to you at the same time I'm trying to get my computer back on. So this is really wild. But as soon as we can get it on, then we will head out with our show here and be back on track. So just hang on with us for a little bit. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Please, whenever I do get the switchboard on, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have your calls, your comments, your questions. And hold just one moment. Michael, if you're on the phone, I can't get you turned on yet. So if there's any way that you can come in here and take over this phone, that would be awesome. But anyway, challenges. So we're hoping that you're having a wonderful day. And our Memorial Day celebration that we're talking about is that we want to honor those who have been affected by war or computer's crashed. You'll have to talk on this one for a few minutes. Anyway, apologies, people. Hold just a moment.
Technology, what fun. Welcome to the show. We apologize for our technical difficulties. And Jeannie's got a computer that's crashed, so I'm hoping that you can hear me all right. And we welcome you to Mind Shifters Radio. What is Mind Shifters Radio? Mind Shifters Radio is all about
how do we function as human beings? And if we're functioning in a non-human state, that is out of hostility or fear, I'll tell you what, folks, if you just stay there, we're going to hang up and try calling in again. We've got a problem here. So our apologies. Welcome once again to Mind Shifters Radio. Our apology, we're breathing and having some technical fun. So Jeannie's computer has crashed, she's rebooting it, and we have some phone difficulties. You know, that's just part of the challenges about being in the Ozarks. So we're actually going to be in the big city next week. We're heading out of here next Thursday, and we'll be on our way to Greensboro, North Carolina. where for the following week, starting Sunday through the following Saturday, we'll be doing Why Is This Happening to Me Again? On Sunday the 23rd, and then following up with a full series of workshops. You can go to our website for the details on that at Unity of Greensboro, North Carolina. So we invite you to come and join us if you're in the North Carolina area, or if you're somewhere else in the country and you really are ready to do a piece of work, then fly into Greensboro. Come and play with us. Jeannie had mentioned earlier the idea of Memorial Day. What are we talking about when we say we're celebrating Memorial Day? Well, if you're new to the show, we have a daily request of everyone that comes on the show, and that is that you make a selection, a choice, to do something about any form of hostility or fear that you experience in your world. And that something we're asking you to do is to forgive. And forgiveness doesn't have to do with letting other people off the hook because of what's going on inside of us. Forgiveness has to do with changing what's going on inside of us. So the request is that you forgive relative to any form of hostility or fear that you have. And as you forgive that hostility and fear, then what happens is you become a contributor to peace in the world instead of energetically being a contributor to darkness. And so we're going to eliminate war through using that process, because as we build a critical mass of people who refuse to do hostility or fear, of course, war can't survive on planet Earth. And people say, oh, come on, Michael, you're such an idealist. That's never going to happen. That's just not possible. That's just part of the human psyche. Well, my offering to you is, it is not part of the human psyche. War is not natural for humans. War is natural for non-humans. Yes, it is part of the non-human psyche. And what we're looking to do is to restore human life to Earth. If you don't know what human life is, if you don't know a good definition for the word, just go hold a newborn child. You'll know exactly what human life is. That's what we're made of, and that's what we're here to support each of us in uncovering. And as we arrive at that newborn state, you know, there's an ancient teacher that said, be as a child. He wasn't saying being childish. He wasn't saying be childlike. He was saying be a human. Function as a human being. And we're not going to have to get everybody that's doing hostility, fear, rage, insanity, and war to change their minds. All we have to do is a critical mass. This awesome physics teacher from 2,000 years ago said, a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. I don't think he was talking about bread. He was talking about the energetic field that's called humanity. And he was talking about how to bring human life to Earth. That's what we're here to do. And if you've given up your human life to some form of hostility or fear, and it's pretty normal for people to do that in the first 3 to 4 years of their lives, then there's work to be done. And we're going to invite you to participate in that work. So let me check and see if Jeannie is with us. Are you here?
I think I am. Can you hear me?
Back on the website.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, dear.
All right. And David's on. Tim is in the chat room, but he's not on the phone.
Uh-huh. Welcome. Well, David, do you have anything exciting to share? I know we just talked a few minutes ago, but is there anything exciting to share with our audience and to continue in our conversation from the yesterday, I guess it was?
Well, actually, to take off from the conversation that you just now made in making the statement that a little leaven is the loaf. A little leavening leavens the whole loaf, and I have a clearer understanding, a better picture of that, and my projections and my way of communicating with people and my intention around it. I get it stronger now that my job is to hold the space and be the model and be an example of holding the space of love, and each time that I do that, then it strengthens energetically wise for other people in order to tap into that. And as long as I am doing that, then on an energetic level, then I'm healing within myself, and opening the space for other people to do likewise. I was talking with Marie this morning, and we were talking about the influence and the resonance with people around, and there's a part of me that I want everybody to get it, and I recognize that the reason I want everybody to get it is more so about me than if they would just do their work, then I would, you know, it would make it easier on me, which is just a con of the dissociated carbon-based memory. It's nothing to do with them. It's really my focus. As long as I'm really doing my best and doing what I, that I have knowledge that I'm doing my best, then the shift will come. And I'll be able to recognize them because I'll recognize them from my true essence, from my true self. You know, I wrote this little bit this morning. I think it was this morning. Oh, gosh, you know. One of the things that you and I talk about, how Marie asked me this morning, so how do I do that, David? Because we've been talking about several different things, and I reminded her, I said, well, that answer's easy, and you're going to remember this answer, which is all of the above. And as long as I'm doing things consistently, every single day, with myself, doing everything as efficient, effective, and with excellence, that I have the knowledge that I'm doing my best, then there will be a shift and there will be changes with it. And the way for me to shift into that is to come from my true self, from my true essence, love. And love is only a thought away. And I thought that was really, it's like, yeah, all I have to do is just keep shifting into love. All I have to do, that's the work, to continue to shift into love. If it's anything unlike love, then it's in hostility and fear. It's in my carbon-based memory. Shift the thought. Love is only a thought away. So that's where I'm at today, and lots of opportunities to hold that space of love.
I understand that one. I join with you in being able to do that, David, for sure. It's an awesome process, and I acknowledge you for your integrity and efforting and moving in that direction.
Thank you.
So, Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us yet? I'm anxious to hear about his support group last night. No. That was a couple nights ago. No, this is Thursday. I'm a few days ahead of myself. I was thinking of his workshop that's happening Sunday.
Yeah. Now he is not on the phone. He is signed into the chat room. He's
okay.
Not on the phone yet.
All right.
I typed
Very
into
cool.
the chat room. Who knows why computers decide to crash at the exact moment you need them to work? And Lisa responded really cute. She said, why do we crash when we need to be most present?
Yes, because when the stress is up and the chips are down, we revert. So.
Oh, Tim just came on. Hold on.
Take it,
please. Tim just came on.
Oh, awesome. Cool. How are you, Dr. Tim?
Doing very well, thank you. How are you?
Awesome. Blessed. Rocking along here. A few little technical difficulties, but we're on go.
What's your topic for today?
Well, we kind of have just been opening the field. Our topic so far has been mostly about technical difficulties. So now that we're through those, we'll select the topic. Do you have something in mind?
A little leavening leavens the whole loaf. That's kind of where we were at when we do our work, and that was my take of it anyway.
Was that David on a recording or David live?
Well, it was David live.
David live. You know, when you were talking about what we've been talking about is a little leavening, doing our own work each day, doing that, being consistent with it, being repetitive, staying with it. That's how I learned. That's how I make the shifts. And when I make the shifts, well, then things around me shift. So that's kind of what I thought the topic was.
Yeah, and it's really what happens in the support groups too. That the more you just keep holding a group, even if you start out with just two or three people getting together, the more the energy goes out, the better you get at doing your work and removing the anger and fear and frustration from your life. The more people notice that and want a part of it, and they start coming to the group, and the next thing you know, you can have a whole support team around you that will knock the socks off anything you had before.
For sure. For sure.
I sent an email out to Joe and haven't heard back about the possibility of starting up that group in Naperville, so let me know if you hear from her one way or another.
Okay. Yeah, I'll probably put a call into her. I've been thinking about calling her, so I'll do that. And we invite everybody that's listening to consider getting a support group started. There's a wonderful African proverb that says, if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And when you start inviting other people to make this journey with you, the journey definitely gets easier.
And it doesn't take much. Yeah, it doesn't take much. You don't have to be an expert. The tools that are available on the website, the actual chapter 24 of your book, the two videos and the worksheet itself really do start to make a difference. They may not change your life in a worksheet or two, but you really can start building the brain cells so that a month or two from now you'll have a whole different experience of doing a worksheet than you did the first time or two you tried it. And if you get one or two people to share that process with you, it just accelerates it faster than you could imagine. I know David can attest to that.
For absolutely. Sure. I 100%, Tim, 100%.
And so the forgiveness process is one where, one, choosing to be responsible applies forgiveness to what's going on in their minds, in their emotions, in their bodies, to change that content rather than being stuck in the old hostility and fear game. If you're not familiar with that conversation, then we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.com. And on our website, you'll see a link that says Download Worksheets. It's over on the right-hand side, about a half a dozen links down. If you look at the first four links under that section, you'll have the whole story. They're all free. You can download it all. There are audios of awesome worksheet processes, forgiveness processes that we'll walk people through on the radio show. There are a couple of those. There is the reality management process in Chapter 24 from the book, Why Does That Mean to Me Again? And you can also download the whole book free on the website as well. So come and play with us. Do some forgiveness work. Put your pen to the paper and watch what happens as you let loose of what never belonged in a human system. And, of course, what was that that never belonged? Anything unlike love. Anything other than that awesome newborn state that we all started out in. And so that's what we're here to support you in. And as you begin, or as you continue that process, everything around you will change. Why will it change? Because as a creator, when you shift what's happening inside of you, the energetic, literal, measurable energetic pulses that go out from you have to change. And so we invite you to participate in doing that, and as you do, watch some amazing things happen. One of my favorite statements about doing the work is, you'll be getting ready to have the best year yet of your eternal life. And we've all been sold a bill of goods that death is a requirement. I disagree. I don't believe it is. It is if we function as non-humans, if we function as bodies. Adamos, red clay, it says the red clay is appointed to die. but is the human being? No, the human being is made in the image and likeness of eternity. And the claim, and this isn't theology, this is physics, the claim you have to make is of your human life. And as you exercise and function out of your human life, that's when everything around you begins to change. So we're here to support you in that process. Angie, do we have any callers or anything in the chat room? Hello, Jeannie. Did we lose you, sweetie?
Nope, I'm here. No, nothing's going on in either place. Call-in number is 646-200-4169. Oops, somebody just pressed 1, so we have a caller.
Awesome.
Area code 804, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Good morning. This is Edward, the president of the International Fan Club for Guru Rice.
Hi, Edward.
How are you folks this morning?
We are blessed and highly favored. How about you, Edward?
Well, if it gets any better, it'll get worse again. It's just terrific out here.
What you ask for?
And I would like us to discuss the concept of accountability, sir. Last night
All
in
right.
our support group at Unity of Las Vegas, it was brought up by a gentleman who had just experienced court for the finale of his divorce, and the confusion on what his other half did to him and
mm-hmm.
how to approach it with true forgiveness. And you had made a statement way back, Michael, about that we do have the option to hold people accountable for what they do, but it's
uh-huh.
the intention. I'm reading some material that says that in communication with other people, that we either can come from unconscious intention or come from inspiration. And
right.
I was just sitting there thinking, well, about my own personal history and how do I look at the adversaries in my life, and can I be inspired but still hold them accountable for what they did to me?
Well, you know, there's a game that goes on in the culture that that says that when we have justice, we'll have a world of peace. And unfortunately, the non-being minds cheap copy of the spiritual truth is that justice is when I get even with them and they suffer like I did. And I'd offer that justice is not going to create a peaceful world ever, not in the next million years. But what will create a peaceful world is responsibility. So there are two things to be looking at. One is that all of the pain that I experience when somebody does something to me is an internal experience. You know, short of them coming up and punching me in the nose, nobody can cause me pain. And if someone could cause me pain, then we could put 1,000 people in the room and a person do a particular behavior, and 1,000 people would be in the same kind of pain that I am. And I guarantee that whatever behavior happens, the 1,000 people in the room are not going to be in the same pain as you are, because the pain that you're experiencing is a product of what's happening in your mind. The pain that I'm experiencing is a product of what's happening in my mind. So the first order of business, before we start going after somebody else for what they did to us, my offering is I need to do my work. I need to clean up the pain source in my own structure and return to my human life. Now, that's whether it's current events, you know, it's the person that I live with, it's the child that I'm raising, the parent that raised me, the coworker. The first order of business is I need to clean up what I inflict on myself in response to what they did. If absolutely everybody in the room would not have exactly the same reality, obviously, the reality that I'm experiencing in response to what they did is mine. Forgiveness is how to change that. So that's first order business. Before we start going for accountability with someone else,
you want to do that first, because what happens is, if we're in pain, most people who are in pain are in some form of hostility or fear. When we're in hostility or fear, literally our perceptual acuity is reduced. Our emotional intelligence is compromised. In other words, we get stupid. And we're not smart enough to hold them accountable in a way that actually works. So first order of business is, I need to do my healing. I can imagine that a man in the divorce court who wants to, hold his wife accountable might be experiencing a whole lot of things that have nothing to do with his wife. First order of business, he's got to clean that up. Then, is there something that someone needs to be ethically or legally held accountable for? Then go for it. Let's say, for instance, if she did some form of fraud in that divorce, then if it's my job to do it, and it might not be worth my time and energy, but if it's my job to do it, I might simply, hold her legally accountable for that fraud. That might mean I might have to go out and hire an attorney, or maybe it's a broken law. Then what I need to be doing is calling the police, if I feel like that's my job to do, and having her held accountable for that. But as far as most people holding others accountable for what they did to them, most people don't want to do that. Most people want to hold other people accountable for the pain that they don't want to own that they've inflicted on themselves. And that would be my take on the process. Does that make sense from where you sit? Yes, sir.
Well, I would like to hear one of the other gentlemen's view on that also.
Sure, go for it.
This is David. What it reminded me of was several years ago, I was out jogging, and as I came around this corner, all of a sudden there was a pack of dogs, and there were about six of them, and the leader was a Rottweiler, and this Rottweiler, and all of a sudden, I was stopped dead in my tracks. And they're growling and snarling and stuff. And I've since been able to reflect back on this, that I was able to stay in this space of love. In other words, I let go of my fear, really, about this. And I noticed, and I was just there very gently, and I noticed it was one of the smaller dogs, wasn't as aggressive. And so I squatted down and kind of coaxed this little small dog over. And when I started petting that dog, the other ones came a little bit closer, and they started wagging their tails and became friendly, and I started petting them. The Rottweiler was still growling, and it walked over, and I was squatted. And all of a sudden, as I just looked at it, it bit me in the face. And as soon as it bit me, it stopped, and they all walked away. So I had this gash, and I went to the place where I was living, a friend of mine, and he says, oh, wow. And he told me this story about this neighbor and this Rottweiler that had been called on several different times, that the police had been out, and they would just let this Rottweiler run everywhere. At that particular time, I wanted to take ownership for creating everything in my life, and to be coming from a space of love and being understanding and accepting and so forth. And one of my teachers says, no, David, you need to hold this person accountable. They need to be responsible for the damage and the things that really could have happened with this particular dog out. You've been injured, and you need to hold those people accountable. And so I contacted the police. I contacted these folks, and what was interesting was that the owner of it, he said, "Well, I don't know how this dog bit you in the face unless you did something to it, because it can't jump, hind legs. It wasn't able to jump up." And so, when I told him the story, because the only way the dog could have bit me in the face was I was squatted down.
And his wanted to defend himself, and that if you hadn't squatted down, then you would have never gotten bit. That had something to do with it. And so I asked him to be accountable in contacting his insurance company and the police and so forth, so that then he would take ownership and responsibility for securing the dog, and that if there were any damages, which there were, that needed to be taken care of, that this person would be accountable for that. And I did that, Ed, and coming from the space of love, using this language here, versus revenge, versus avenging, versus punishing or doing anything to this person. And it was responsible for me to hold that person accountable. That's
what I hear you saying, David, is that we still can still change my misperception that at the time when somebody, quote, does something to me, that I have the option to either blame the other person, or I can just watch what I'm thinking and change my reaction. And I can actually shift all the way down to the number 7 and 8 on the worksheet and just hold that person in love, that no matter what they did to me, that I'm not a victim, and I don't need to get all upset of what somebody has done to me, but I can see the potential of changing my own vibration, and I can still feel connected to them, and I can still get the job done, and I can still call the insurance company, but it's what I'm doing to myself at the moment. Do I stay in peace, or do I stay in reaction?
Yeah, I think that's it exactly, Ed. I think that's what Michael talks about, when our highest level of intelligence is only going to come from love. That's the highest intelligence. If I'm coming from fear and hostility, I'm going to say and do the same things that was done to me in the past, or that's been carried on from generation to generation. On the radio show the other day, I read a little story, a little piece about what justice was from Neville Johnston's book, Hidden Language Codes. And it was on justice, and it is about holding people accountable versus justifying, because then if there's this justification of taking, of avenging and doing the same act, then I perpetuate the act. When I do it coming from a space of love, then this person has the opportunity in order to then see it from a higher sense of higher consciousness, so that he is presented the opportunity to see and do it differently, rather than to come from a lower understanding of it.
Well, that's
so
wonderful,
yeah,
how you just said that, David, because you just said to see things differently. That's one of the concepts in The Course in Miracles. I am determined to see things differently.
Yeah, yeah. The only way I can learn something new is to invite that intelligence to guide me, and then to open up to it and to see, and then take action, take that particular action towards that. You know, had I not taken the action, Ed, let's say that my teacher told me to do this particular thing, and so I did. Now, though that he told it to me, or she, it was actually when she told me to do this, then I said, yeah, that makes sense, and I took no action to do that. The only thing that I would learn, I wouldn't have learned anything new. I would still be doing it the same way. So it is accountability, into shift it in my mind and then put it into an action.
Well, thank you, David, and thank you, Michael. I always get such clarity from you gentlemen. And,
well, you know, Dr. Tim is with us, and he may have some more input too. Dr. Tim, do you have any thoughts for us?
Yeah, the thing that jumps out at me is, in agreement with everything Michael and David have said, and I remember from a line from The Way of Mastery, it keeps talking about how everything is either an expression of love or a cry for help and healing. And when I combine that with the observations of great minds like Einstein that say we aren't separated or separate from anyone or anything, it aids me to look at this person as an extension of myself and to understand that the only way I'll actually be able to move to a place of compassion for them is when I realize that I can't stop myself from making errors either. That I've done similar things that were either not as thoughtful as they could be or not as respectful as they could be, and that this is simply the act or the expression of someone who doesn't understand completely yet that they are made of that source of love and that they can learn to live in the world and get what they need without hurting other people. And that extends my ability for compassion even further. I end up seeing them as an extension of myself, and then just like I would hold myself accountable and try and make amends if I did something inappropriate or that cost somebody dearly, I can hold them accountable that same way, but have the same compassion for them I would have for myself or a newborn infant. So that's what I would offer, that everything is either an expression of love or a cry for help and healing. And if I see someone coming at me with anger or hurt or vengeance, and I see it as a cry for help and healing, it makes it a lot easier for me to have compassion for them.
Well, it's neat to hear you gentlemen, you know, talk about all this because it gives me a feeling of the potential of me to feel my own sense of wanting love and wanting to be loved. And now I'm looking at people when they do disagree with me, I just keep saying to myself, this person unconsciously is reaching out for love, and the emotion that they have shifted to is hostility, but they really don't realize that their need for love is being, you know, projected onto me, and I get to stand there in my own presence of knowing that all is well in spite of the appearance, and that I can stay in love and even watch and observe and bestow love upon myself at that moment, and that's the most important thing.
Absolutely. I'm in full agreement. And, you know, it's a new paradigm. It's a whole new way of looking at things. And it comes from a paradigm of the truth about how the world works. There's a wonderful quote from Albert Einstein, and what he says is, if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. Now, everybody in the hostility and fear, non-human-based world, rushed in for Albert Einstein's work in order to create bombs to kill people. You know, they just rushed right in. But you don't see those scientists quoting, if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of the world, you're living in an optical delusion. I was listening to a report on, let me get my brain there. Some stuff related to the Scopes monkey trial and the whole idea of survival of the fittest. And, you know, the book that was written originally on the survival, or that's been interpreted as the survival of the fittest, uses that term twice. And it uses the term love over 100 times. People rushed in for survival of the fittest. But did they want to hear about love? There was a great deal spoken of in this whole theory of evolution about cooperation. Do you hear anybody quoting Darwin about cooperation and love? No. What did the non-being world tap into? The non-being world tapped into the paradigm it holds in its own mind, and that is one of hostility and fear. And so it goes, yeah, survival of the fittest. I'm going to be fit. Let me beat them up. Let me build a bigger bomb. Einstein, don't tell us about intuition. Einstein, don't tell us about how dumb the intellect is. Einstein,
Don't tell us about how we're all connected and we're one. Just give me what supports my non-being life, my hostility and fear-based life. We're looking to bring a different paradigm about in the world. And when that paradigm is purposely suppressed, when the truth is purposely suppressed, and anything that doesn't fit, the observations that are made that don't fit are hidden from us, then we seem to think that this worldview of separation, of hostility, fear, of brutality is accurate. It's all a human made-up fraud. It's all based in a lie. Pardon me, I shouldn't say human. I should say non-human. And when I define non-human, I'm talking about anyone that looks like they have a human form that does not have the active presence of love in them. And that mind will either purposely or unconsciously dissociate from anything that doesn't fit with its previously accepted worldview. And when some new piece of information comes out that changes that worldview, it gets ignored. How many ever heard that Darwin talked about in his book that's been interpreted as The Survival of the Fittest? How many have heard it talked about that he talked about love over 100 times in that book, that he spoke about cooperation? Almost never heard of. Why? Because it doesn't fit the current insane paradigm that rules and governs the world. What's the current insane paradigm? They have something I want. I want what I want when I want it. Let's build a bomb and go kill them so we can take it. That's one of the reasons why we're inviting people to actually take the level of responsibility that it takes to heal war, to heal the hostilities and fears that have us only seeing through that lens. There is a different lens we can see through. In Aramaic, it was called rachma. Listen to yesterday's show if you want to hear a little more about rachma. It's a condition in the mind that gives you totally different information. It gives you information based in love. You know, think about a situation where you've had some conflict with somebody that you really honor and, you know, somebody that you're really close to. And you say to that person, I love you, I cherish you, you are so awesome, I just love you so much. But then when you shift out of that filter of love into hostility or fear, do you see what you love about them? No, it's blocked out of the mind. This ability to gate things out of the mind is such a powerful yet not understood and not commonly known thing. And we're talking right down to so-called physical events. There's an interesting piece of research that was done with cats where they went into the cat's brain and they implanted wires, electrodes, for an EEG machine. And they hooked it up to an oscilloscope, and they put it into the part of the brain of the cat where sound was registered. And so they would take a little device that would click, and each time they would click, the oscilloscope would bleep, bleep, click, bleep, click, bleep, click, bleep. And then they put a mouse in a bell jar in front of the cat, and guess what? The cat's brain totally gated out. It didn't reach the area of the brain where sound registers. There wasn't room for it to get in. If our focus, if our mindset is hostility and fear, then we gate out the evidence of the truth and the paradigm that's really accurate about the way the world works.
Well,
there was a man 2,000 years ago. There was a man, one more thought, Edward. There was a man 2,000 years ago who knew exactly how to solve that dilemma. He said, here's the first law. You've got to have rachma active. That's the paradigm shifter, because that's the filter that allows us to see what is loved about every object of attention and what connects us all together. And that's the paradigm shift we're going for. Excuse me, go ahead. Edward, go ahead.
Well, that's so profound, Michael, and that brings back into memory at the Nuremberg trials after the Second World War, a reporter from the New York Times made the comment that it wasn't the Germans that were on trial, but it was the consciousness of the world. And
yep,
that shows us and displays to us that each and every one of us have a responsibility, because whatever we're judging, it goes out into the world as a part of this global consciousness.
And so we literally have to be very vigilant in knowing that to think and project love is our only salvation to mankind.
Well, there's a an author named Dallas Darling who did a newspaper article. I've been doing some research on this new thing that I'm writing about forgiveness, and he quotes Voltaire, and Voltaire says, "As long as," and this is back in the 1600s, "as long as people believe in absurdities, they will continue to commit atrocities." And then he goes on to speak about the war crimes trials in Tokyo after World War II. He says this: "Before being executed, several common themes emerged among top Japanese military commanders and political officials at the Tokyo War Tribunal. Even though each one testified how they only wanted Japan to claim its place among civilized nations of the world and to further the cause of peace and Japanese greatness by expansionist policies, it was obvious the horrendous war crimes had been committed. Testimonies were heard how Japan launched aggressive preemptive wars against other nations and how such expansionist efforts turned into murder, rape, the practice of torture, and other inhumane cruelties. Specifically emphasized was atrocities at Nanking, China, and in work and prisoner of war camps. Leaders," they said, quote, "deliberately and recklessly terrorized populations. Civilians were machine-gunned and charred, burned beyond recognition." And these people were talking about peace. That's what it was about. And we just want to claim our place among civilized nations. And you can't, another quote from Einstein that I think is awesome, he says, "You can't simultaneously prepare for war and create peace. It's just not possible." And it's time for us to wake up. And what happens in a culture that's based in a paradigm of non-human life is that anybody who brings a voice up that's different than the one that supports let's go out and kill and take what we want gets eliminated. This guy goes on to say, "Another common theme at the Tokyo War Crimes Tribunal was that the actual planning of Japan's aggression, preparation, and waging the preemptive wars were not the work of one individual but many of Japan's leaders. By purging dissenters and pacifists, certain military and political leaders worked together to achieve a common purpose, to make Japan into a political, industrial, and military power throughout Asia." So how do you keep an old paradigm going? You have to eliminate anybody that comprehends the new one. Well, folks, fortunately, we're getting ready for critical mass. We're on the verge of critical mass. The times, they are a-changing. It's happening. We're waking up. We're waking up to our humanity. We're waking up to the truth and allowing the evidence in for the paradigm that is true. And the truth is there's one of us and we're all connected. And when we recognize that, the only thing that separates us is our own hostilities and fears. Accept our invitation, please. Go to the website. Download the worksheets. Start to put the pen to the paper to those areas where you have some forgiveness work to do, where there's some form of hostility or fear. You won't be letting somebody else off the hook. You won't be letting yourself off the hook. You'll be going inside yourself and changing what never belonged in your physiology in the first place. You'll be changing the root of all of your pain, all of your misperceptions, all of your hostility, and all of your fear. That's what forgiveness is about. And that's what we're here to support you in. So, Edward, that's an awesome question that you brought up. Thank you for the opportunity to flow with this information.
Well, thank you, Michael, for your insights, and thank you, Tim and David. And I can tell you the group here in Las Vegas is so indebted to you. You're just, Michael, I just can't tell you how we sit there and then every other word is Michael says this, Michael says that, and we look to you for understanding and for inspiration. And so my very kind thanks for all the hard work that you do to bring this about.
Well, I'm delighted to be on the support team. I'm delighted, Edward, to be on the support team, and please keep reminding everybody that this work is not about admiring my connection to my source.
This work is about each and every individual involved developing their connection to their source. That's where the real solution lies. The solution doesn't lie in Michael Rice. The solution lies in each of us hooking up, as Yeshua said 2,000 years ago, to the spirit of truth in us. That's what
we're
doing.
Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciate your humility, but on the other hand, since I'm still in the old line of thinking, I'm going to have to do a worksheet on what you just told me. I have to be caught up in you. So have a wonderful day, and certainly do appreciate all your wonderful insights.
And also, you could, you know, if the topic wants to continue next week, maybe there'd be somebody there that could burn a CD of the show, and you could listen to this section, and it might help to clarify that process.
Terrific. Well, God bless you.
Awesome. All right, sir, you have a blessed one, too. Take care.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Gene, do we have any other callers? You know, Gene, I got so caught up in the conversation, Jeannie, and I meant to ask you if you had any thoughts for Edward. He's probably still there because your insight is always so intuitive and so powerful, and I just got caught in the conversation and meant to turn to call on you. So do you have any thoughts for Edward to add to the conversation about accountability?
No, you all covered it pretty well.
Okay, well, any other callers? Anything in the chat room that we need to know about?
No, everybody's just sitting there. Calling number is 646-200-4169. Press 1. That lets us know that you want to speak. We'll put you in queue.
Okay.
I forgot to mention that next week we're going to move the time of the radio show back an hour. You might want to talk about that.
Yes, yes. As of next Monday, we'll be starting the show at 1 o'clock Eastern Time instead of 2 o'clock Eastern Time. So it'll shift back an hour. Please set your alarms and set your notes to be joining us an hour earlier. That will be our permanent new time. And also on Saturday and Sunday night, you can key people in, and at 10 o'clock there'll be a show Saturday night and Sunday night where it won't be a call-in show, but it'll be a repeat of some of our more popular shows. And we're actually still just working on designing that. But it'll be this Saturday and Sunday night. So come and play, give a listen. Turn your friends on to it. People who perhaps can't listen during the day because of work or what have you can tap in the evening. And what we're going to be doing, I think, on Saturday is we'll be playing the radio show that we did with Lynn and the awesome worksheet that she did. And so if you've got questions about the worksheet process, that'll be a great show to listen to. And then you, in listening to it, you can make notes of any questions that you have. And on Monday's show, you can call in with those questions. And or if you don't want to wait till then, you can go to www.whyagain.com. And on the right-hand side, up in the right corner, you'll see a link that says Sample Radio Show and Forgiveness Process. It is just a fabulous. If you weren't around at that point, it was about, 5 or 6 weeks ago. But if you weren't around, it's an absolutely awesome show. And just such a powerful worksheet and such fabulous willingness on Lynn's part. We haven't heard from her in a few weeks. I need to get in touch with her and say hello. So I want to go back to what I was speaking about with that article of Dallas Darling. And what they did in Japan as a result of the atrocities that were committed by China toward Japan was they erected a female Buddha statue, and it's the Buddhist goddess of mercy. And they erected this statue facing toward China as a way of apologizing for the atrocities committed by those in control. And there's a really easy way to tell if an atrocity has been or is about to be committed on the part of your leaders, and that is if they are speaking in terms of hostility and fear, the atrocities are on the way. It's time for us as a population to wake up and take responsibility for what's happening in our world and change that conversation to one that's based in love. How do you do that? Well, the first step is you start at home. You start within yourself, your own process. Not easy in this world to do, but it is doable. And we're here to support you in that. Jeannie, questions, thoughts?
No. Everybody's still just sitting there, no callers.
Quiet. Well, hello, everybody.
We're down, though, to about 2 minutes.
2 minutes, that's it, eh? Okay. So let's look at this idea of what the filters have to do. Let's just reinforce that one. We have a way we believe the world works. If it's based in hostility or fear, the way we believe the world works is a fraud. It's simply not true. Even though we may have, with that old paradigm that isn't true, we may have gotten some useful stuff out of it. It may have worked for us in some ways. But if you're not working with truth, you can't function as a whole human being. So the first order of business is let's get back to the truth of who we are. If you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. And the recognition of that optical delusion comes when you can own what's going on in your world and what's going on in yourself. So our invitation is to be responsible, and as you choose to take responsibility, be aware that you don't get into blame, because the non-being mind's cheap copy of responsibility is blame. You mean this is my fault? I'm to blame? I'm the guilty party? I'm the one that's bad and wrong? Well, no, you are none of those things. Even if you've committed the worst atrocities going, you're innocent in your being. It's never touched your being. All you need to do is forgive and remove what never belonged. And you'll end up creating the best year yet of your eternal life. And that's what we're here to support you in. Have a blessed day. Bring a stranger with you, please.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.